Two verses to just start on there. The first verse, children, obey your parents. And in verse five, slaves, obey your earthly masters. You notice the word that's being used there. The word obey.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to the bit when he talks to husbands and wives.
Yes,
submit. We submit to one another. Right? There's a difference altogether between the relationships between parents and children, slaves and masters, than there is husbands and wives. So it's using a different word, yeah? And what does obey mean?
Take notes.
Do what you're told, is essentially it, yeah? Right, so he's talking to children. He's talking to what kind of children?
Adrian.
No, not talking to Adrian. Christian children. He's talking to, isn't he? But it applies, it's meant to apply in families, is what we're getting at, you know. Children, obey your parents. How are you going to obey them? In the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Obey them in the Lord.
How God will teach them.
Yeah, well, you're doing it because you're a believer.
Yeah.
That's one thing, yeah? You're seeking to plead, obey them.
I think it means if you're not, if what they're telling you is not godly.
Right, well, he's not going to deal with that.
There may be a way out.
There is a way out, I'm sure. You don't do when they tell you to do something that's wrong, really, ultimately. You know it's wrong, but...
Well, since the children are representing the Lord in the family, aren't they?
Yes, yeah.
So they're representatives, therefore.
The parents are.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's not dealing with the exceptions. He's really dealing with how the general principle would be, yeah. So you're to obey your parents in the Lord. Right, so because you're believers, you're recognizing your parents as God's representatives, in a sense. And secondly, because this is right. And what does he mean by this is right? It's the way it should be. And why is it the way it should be? Because God has made families, that's why. He knows how they're meant to operate. That's the thing.
I had to tell my granddaughter, because she was telling me what to do when she was 3 or 4 years old.
They learn fast, don't they?
You're the child, I'm the adult.
Yeah.
You do what I tell you.
Not my
Yes. Now, interesting, that raises a very useful point. Why do you tell them to, or teach them to obey? Why do you have to do that? Because they don't need to be taught to disobey.
No.
It comes natural. Yes? So, yes, the principle is that children need instruction in how to do the right thing.
Yeah.
That seems to be somehow ignored these days, you know. Just let it develop, let it flow, let it come out. And I'll tell you what will come out if you let it flow and develop. Rebellion. Yeah. So, children, obey your, what did he say? Who you got to obey? Parents. What's important about that? This is,
God's order.
It's God's order. It's mother and father, yeah. It's basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's Proverbs mentions it 3 times, if I may read one.
Yes.
In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8, hear my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching.
Right. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? Now, I hope you realise, apart from the Jewish background, in the Gentile world, this is revolutionary.
Mm.
Yeah? Who was the one that told the kids what to do in the sense of, you know, you obey me, who do you obey? Dad!
Yeah.
Yes? But this one says, Mum has a standing in that place as well. She's to be taken note of, like the proverb says there, yeah? And what's Dad and Mum got to do is they got to work together. Because I hope you realise this, that the little darlings are super psychologists, and they know how to play one off against the other. Yeah, you found that out as well? Oh, very good.
You'll get it. Don't you take
one. Or vice versa.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
It's horrible in India because the son is more important than the wife.
That's terrible, isn't it?
The husband and the son sit and they're served and healed.
Right.
By the mother and the daughter.
Gee.
Yeah. Got it all wrong.
Something's wrong, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul is saying that now then, children, you obey your parents, mum and dad, in the Lord. It's right. That's the right thing to do. Yes. And, of course, if you don't do it God's way, you guarantee you'll have a society that goes to pot. And that's what we're seeing now, I'm afraid. next verse he quotes here, he gives it a backing up from scripture. Honour your father and mother. Yes, do you know that's one of the commandments? Yes, it's one of the commandments. And what does that tell you about Paul's view of the Old... Well, all he had as the Bible was the Old Testament. You realise that, don't you? Yes, he was writing the New at the time. Right? What's Paul's view of the Old Testament? It applies. It's relevant. It's got something to say to your world and your time. Yeah? And he's quoting the commandments. So, when we become Christians, you can throw the commandments out, can you?
No.
Oh good, I'm glad you got that one then, right, good. Yes. What's the difference between what Paul is arguing with the place of the commandments in a person's life, in, before you become a Christian, the commandments, in a sense, are restricting you. They hold you in. Yes. But, when you come to Jesus and you've got the power of the Spirit, the commandments are guides for you. They show you what to do and what not to do. They're to help you to live. Yes? They don't give you salvation, but they direct you into the life that God wants you to have. Yes, I've used this. I'll give you an illustration again before. Yes? If you went to one of these old castles, they have cannonballs and gunpowder and cannons, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes? You got that? Right. Okay, so you are the cannonball. Yes? That's you. You're a living person. You're going to be moving. Yes? Now then. If you've got this power, this new life, that's your gunpowder. If you put a pile of gunpowder underneath a cannonball and set fire to it, what would happen? It'd go. That's all it would do. Right? But if you put the gunpowder in a barrel and put the cannonball on top of the gunpowder in the barrel and then set fire to it, what happens? You can shoot it somewhere. What is the barrel? It's the word of God to direct your life. Yes. Once you've got the power, the barrel can't give you power. The gunpowder does that. That's the Lord's life. Yes. But you need direction. That's the word. That's what the commandments are for.
You need to be obedient when
you got
it.
Yes.
No, it's human cannonballs.
We're human cannonballs. Correct. Yes.
Deuteronomy.
Yes, please. Yeah. Because it can't. Go.
Yeah, chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, just as Adonai your God commanded you, so that your days may be long, and it may go well with you in the land of Adonai your God is giving you.
Right. Well, we'll pick that up in a moment because that's really quite interesting. Yeah. So the commandment there is honor your father and mother. And that doesn't just apply to children.
No.
You got that?
No.
Well, it's best children.
He's talking, he's applying it to children there, but the original command, is honour your father and mother, whatever age they are.
Yeah.
Now, something changes. When you're a child, you are to obey your parents. When you're an adult, you're still to honour them.
Yeah.
Yes? You don't obey them anymore because you are now an independent adult of the new community family. Yeah. But
first duty becomes to your spouse. If you get
of course, yes. But you honour, you treat them with respect.
Yeah.
You don't put them down and ridicule and all that sort of stuff. You've got the idea. Yeah. So that's an ongoing thing for our lives in a sense. Yeah. So honour your father and mother. And he then says, this is interesting, which is the first commandment with a promise.
Yeah.
And what's the promise? Yes, that you live long in the land.
Yes.
Now we'll look at the interesting little bit about that. But yeah, so if you disobey your parents, you might have a short life. Bump you off or something. No, maybe not. But anyway, right. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. Are there any other commandments with a promise?
Read Revelation. Oh no.
No, but I'm talking about the Ten Commandments for the moment. Are there any other promises in the Ten Commandments? You don't know? Do you know the Ten Commandments? You do? Can you think of any other commandment that's got a promise attached to it? No is the answer. Right? I'm going to tell you, there are no other promises attached. So why does Paul say it's the first commandment with a promise? Because the Ten Commandments are a summary of all the other commandments and the plenty of other commandments with promises attached to them. Mm. Yes. In fact, I'll just say this is really interesting. In Jewish thinking, they divide commandments into heavy ones and light ones. Some, the heavy ones are the big important ones, and the light ones are the little ones, the small ones, yeah? And the Ten Commandments are obviously in the heavy brigade, aren't they? They're the big ones, yeah? What do they, do you know? Do you know what they call the lightest commandment, the 600 odd of them in the Old Testament laws? Which is the lightest commandment, the smallest, the weakest, the littlest one of them all?
I've never heard that comment.
Have you not?
No,
yeah, it's a typical Jewish.
Any sin is a sin.
Yeah, well, we're coming to it, yeah? Yeah, any sin's a sin, but some commandments are more important than others, yeah? Like, you shall not kill, it's pretty higher up than sort of doing some small thing, but Jesus deals with those. But I'm saying, they split up the commandments into the heavies and the lights, yeah? What's the lightest one? The lightest one is to do with when you walk along the road and you find a bird's nest with eggs in it. Yeah?
Do not touch them.
You take the eggs, but you don't take the parent birds. Yes, because they can then do a new batch later on, yeah? So you only take the eggs. Yeah? Or if there's young in the nest, you take the young. Yeah, but you don't take the parents. Yeah? That's a pretty small command, isn't it, in a way? Right? But, interestingly, there's a promise attached to it. If you do that, if you look properly treat the birds right and, you know, all of that thing, what's the promise? The promise is exactly the same as in the commandment, you shall live long in the land. Yeah? Now, the rabbis say this, you see. If the heaviest commandment has that promise attached to it, and the littlest, the smallest has that promise attached to it, they're all important. Yeah? Some may be more sort of power packing than others, but they all carry an important message, yeah? Right, so, you may live long in the land, we're coming back, but where did I get to that point? I'm not sure, but anyway. But he may go well with you, right, so there's the promise. Honor your father and mother, it's the first commandment with a promise. There are other promises, that's where we got it from, yes. There are other promises that that run through the Bible for obedience to God's commands, yeah? And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, why will it go well with you if you obey your parents?
Because you're doing what God is telling you.
Well, that's true.
And directly through your parents.
You must know what it does to you. It's a long person.
What, it develops you as a person,
yes,
obeying your parents,
one
forms your character.
You know from experience that if you do anything which displeases anybody, it disturbs you I'd say now soul, but you don't always know when you're younger what your soul is when you come to the door. But somehow or other it disturbs everything about you. And it affects you, it can affect your eating or...
all sorts of things.
It makes you go around your mind or whatever.
Growing up as a child, doing it God's way, will develop you, your personality and your character to learn how to obey, to learn how to trust, to learn how to love, all of those things in the secure environment of a loving family, yes, that will in many ways guarantee that you'll live longer than somebody who's a complete rebel, takes all the junk of the day, stuffs it into their heads, does their body in, they're not going to last long. Yeah? So in general the term is, the better you do it God's way, the more likely you are to live better. That's number one, yes?
Yeah, and it also says, doesn't it, that, I mean, like, you know, when your father says be home at 9 o'clock and everybody else is at 10, but I mean, you realise as well, like, the discipline is love eventually.
Yes.
And it says if your father disciplines you, if God's discipline, you learn God's discipline.
Thank you. That's the next thing. Basically it's this. If you're learning to obey position of authority, you start recognising where authority lies. Yes? So that's going to help you when you're out in the streets and the policeman comes along and tells you to do something and you been trained as a disobedient child, you might finish up in the prison. Yeah? But if you've been trained as an obedient child, you'll be okay as a citizen, yes? That's one of the things. It teaches you how to respond to authority. And the other thing I think is really important, God's laying a foundation for you that the time may come when God says to you, obey me.
Yeah.
Yeah? And God's been preparing you through your parents to listen to his highest authority, God himself.
Mm. How much more will it, does he love you?
This is probably why my nan, my mum was always busy, but my nan taught me to pray before I went to bed.
Yeah, good.
So reading, if I may read another bit of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6, Dennis, verse 7. You are to teach them diligently, your children, and speak to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Yes.
So you're impressing God's
love. That's going to come in the next little bit with fathers, but yes.
Oh, right.
So basically the children have to learn to obey, to respond to that, and the parents just give their input, as we see in the moment. Yeah?
It's surprising when I discovered that a lot of young people, if you've got them in, they use that to go against what their peer group want them to do that they're not really too happy with. They use that. No, I can't, my mum won't let me.
Right.
I can't really go with
you're a protection for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. And kids need boundaries. I remember many years ago when the fellowship was just starting, there was a young woman, she came to me, she says, my parents don't love me, they'll let me do anything I like.
Yeah.
Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew they didn't love her
because they they did love her, I'm sure they did, but her concept of what parental love was has got all messed up because they'd not exercised any sort of boundary control for her. Yeah. And kids need security. They'll push it. You found that, haven't you? They'll push it. But if they know it's there, they're secure.
But I think then, when Pete was teaching, I mean, he didn't tell me sort of names and things, but, you know, he did recognise that some only children, and that were quite spoiled, but yet they seemed, at a certain age, to be really nice.
Okay.
But I think in life, somehow or other, one will certainly come up against a point, unless you're very lucky, where that tells
whatever's happened before. Yes.
Whatever, you know, in some point in your life, if you haven't had that, you know, if you've been sport, and haven't had those whatever,
it will show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So as I said, this raises some incredible principles about the whole family thing, that so that it may go well with you, so you're likely to last longer if you're doing it God's way. Yeah, that's number one. And that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, interestingly, how Paul has taken that, because in the original position, he's talking to the Hebrew people, is basically God is saying to them, you do what your parents say, and you'll be able to stay in the land, meaning the promised land.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
But he's taking it to say, you'll enjoy a long life, not on the land, on the earth. Is how he's using that word now. Same word, it means land or earth, yeah?
Not land.
Yeah, yeah. So basically the idea is that if you do it the way that the Lord wants, then the chances are you're going to have a better life. Yeah?
Mm.
Children, God's got your interests at heart.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right? And then that takes us now to fathers. Fathers. Well, he's talking to fathers, but mum comes in on it as well. Actually, some translations say parents, don't they? Yes, it can mean parents, yeah. So mum has a place, but dad is there as well, and he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Yeah, my translation says that. Do not exasperate your children. I met a lady in the queue at the post office this morning, and we got chatting, and she's talking about her husband had had a heart attack, and thankfully he's recovered, he's doing all right. She says, but it's funny, when the children were small, she said, he'd wind them up and then say, I'm going out now and leave me to sort it out. Yeah. I says, can I use an example, because I'm talking about parents and kids this afternoon. She's very happy about that. Don't exasperate your, another word, frustrate. I'll give you an example. I see it a lot when I was in Yorkshire. Jean and I and families and whatever, but you see it all the time. The parents bring the children somewhere and they've not thought of anything to occupy them.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
So the little darling goes, plays up, starts doing all that, and the little fella gets a clout for it.
Yeah.
Yes? I know who needs the clout.
Yeah.
It's not the little fella.
Yeah.
What they're doing, they're frustrating them. And that's one thing. And then another way of frustrating a child is you say, if you do that, I'll do something. Yeah. Right? And what does he do? He does it. And
you
don't do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll tell you what,
frustrating them.
I can tell you one way. Yeah. And then my dad, three of us, I suppose, but when my dad went out somewhere a bit private when I was really young, he said, he's got to see a man about a dog.
No,
and I sat there in longing.
Oh, wait until the dog to come back.
I didn't talk about it eventually, but I thought that was really exhilarating.
Yes. Well, he says fathers or parents, don't exasperate your children. Let them know what you mean and mean what you say. Right? Because otherwise they get completely confused. And a confused kid is likely to be an angry one if you're not careful. Yeah. So, don't do it. Don't do it. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, what should you do? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Well, you read that passage. Talk about the Lord. May the Lord be part of your life in such a natural way that he becomes a part of their lives in a natural way as well. Now, how many homes... was that true for you when you were young?
No.
Well, yeah,
because
I mean...
sometimes they can give them too much, though, can't they?
Well, if they're over-religious, yes. I mean, I'm not talking about being religious. I mean, my dad suffered from that. My grandmother was a godly woman, and she made my dad go to church three times on a Sunday till he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And when he got to 18, he'd had enough.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, he said he'd met too many hypocrites.
Yeah.
Well, that was an excuse, and I said it to him.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There aren't any perfect believers out there.
No.
And just because somehow that's what they should be, doesn't mean to say you just pack it all in for that. So, there you are, but exasperating them, you can overdo it.
Yeah.
You can overdo it. Bring them up in the training and instruction, or discipline is the word.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very fraught word these days.
Right.
What does it mean by discipline? In Scotland, you're not allowed to touch your kids now, you know, you get sent to prison. They passed the law.
We
can't hear as well.
Well,
should there be such a thing as corporal punishment? I mean, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, effectively, it does say that. Should you go around beating your kids up?
No.
No. No. Oh, you're getting violent now. Right. Some way or another, I'll say no more than that. Some way or another, you need to prevent them doing things that are harmful for themselves and other people.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, they're going to get worse.
Yeah.
And they'll finish up as an antisocial so-and-so. Yeah. So there is a place for discipline, which does not exist in our society, it would seem, today.
Well, I think there are these parenting courses, because I'm of interest in that.
Right.
And, you know, where you, if you've got things, you make your child sit there for so long and do like that, and I think they're pretty good as well, because...
Okay.
I mean, a lot of the, some of these ideas, when you're busy living, it just doesn't occur to you, especially when when you're tired and what have you.
Yeah. Parenting's a hard job.
You know, you've got to keep it up.
Yes.
Your gaps between your children and if they're all different, doesn't it?
Right.
It's quite tiring to do it. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember one chap talking about family size. He says, if you've got one kid you manage, if you've two, both of you can take it, but if they've got three, you've had it. You're in trouble. But anyway, discipline. We're not talking about abusing physically or any other way a person. That's not what it's about. When he talks about training and instruction, it's stopping them doing things that are harmful for themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. And that doesn't excuse parents losing it. It's not good.
Mm.
No. So we're not into physical violence or anything else like that. But there is a place for discipline, that's the point we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we read in Hebrews, if your parents disciplined you, they did it for what was best, he's assuming they were good parents, he says, well, God will discipline you for your own, for your real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, if you're a disobedient Christian, brother and sister, I got news for you. God's on your case.
Yeah. You're in trouble.
Yes. But he loves you, that's why.
He's
a dad. Yes,
dad. But also, sometimes the teacher, isn't it, as well, he's given you.
Right. Well, we're coming to that. He says there, doesn't he? Yeah. bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You to teach them what God wants them to be, how to live, and the attitudes they're to develop, and so on. And of course, you instruct them and you teach them, but what's the best way to teach your kids?
Example.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. I mean, I hear some little darlings and they come away with all sorts of language. They didn't learn that by themselves.
No,
they picked it up from somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, dear friends, you know, behaviour is important. I mean, we had this many years ago now. We didn't have a TV when we were first with the children. We got one. Angela, our young one, she's a lovely kid. I'm not despising anything about her, but she started arguing with people a bit more, you know, and got it off the soaps. I mean, let me get through. I ask you, look at any you don't put the sound on, just look at any soap and I'll guarantee you they're arguing.
Yeah.
Arguing with somebody all the time.
Yeah.
It's a confrontational type of media.
Yeah.
Right. And when that started in our home with Angela, Jean says, we don't do this, Angela, and we don't expect you to do it either. Yeah. So it was example, which is important. I mean, if we're having a go at each other, well, she's every right to start doing it herself, of course.
Yeah.
But if you stand in town and the children are passing, I would say this one main swear word.
Frightful language they have, yes. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all over. They're all saying it as a matter of expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dress, they all use it.
Punctuation. Yeah, all right, so you've got to teach them and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. You're trying to get them to respond to the Lord. Of course, that means your little children are little Christians to start with. Is that right?
No.
Some are less tear away than others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both our girls were delightful. They really were. Angela was a high-energy girl. Rebecca was more the contemplative side, but delightful, yeah? But, yeah... We trust that we lead them to the Lord. But there's an interesting bit in Corinthians. It talks about husbands and wives there, and the non-believing husband is married to a believing wife, and he says, you know, if they want to stay, let them stay. He says, because your children are then holy.
Mm-hmm.
That your children are holy. What does it mean? Does it mean that they're little Christians?
No.
No, it doesn't. What, set apart. Mm-hmm. In what way? God's got his hand on them because of the parent, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd put it this way. They are set apart in that they are a massive advantage compared to the non-Christian home,
mm-hmm.
where they wouldn't hear about or see anything of the Lord at all.
Teach you.
They are in an a fine position to see Christianity as a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are set apart in that sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But... I mean, as good Baptists, aren't you? Yes. What do you do is what you're supposed to do with these children when they're little and they're... Do you get them christened?
No, dedicated.
We get them dedicated. We offer them to the Lord.
No.
Yes, yeah.
Have them church. Is that what they...
That was the mother.
What are we meant to do with them?
I was baptised.
Yeah.
And I can see all sorts of things yet, and yet I know that, I mean, the thing is, I know that I, thankfully, was blessed with people who prayed for me.
Yeah.
And I do know in quite a lot of churches, sometimes the godparents might, but when they were taken to church, they had a lot of faithful women that knew, say, in an area like this, they knew, say, where I lived at Chatteris,
yeah.
the families that came to church, there were a lot of faithful prayers.
Yeah.
So that in the mother's unit, I'm sorry, but they pray,
yeah.
they'd have a role and they'd pray for children.
Ideal.
They'd think of children.
Yes,
and
the
they
church.
Would get prayers,
yes.
So, and they were taken to church so they saw them.
Yeah.
So that it's not all anti. And then if you do have...
I'm not saying anti.
If you do have an experience later on...
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I've not been involved in an Anglican setup, but I can say this. If there are people who are godly people around who are praying for the kids and whatever, those kids are in a good place.
Yeah.
And when Jean and I first went to the Southern Baptist Church there, one of the things that really stuck out for us was how the men related to the children in a lovely way. Wait, this was a family.
Yeah.
And if kids are brought into that church family in the sense, then you're preparing them, as the parents have done, to come to the Lord. That's what we're aiming for. One of the things that, just to say that, he says, fathers instruct them in the Lord. In other words, the responsibility for helping them to understand and know things about the Lord is a family thing rather than a church thing. That's important. They can't just say, well, I'll leave it to the pastor, I'll leave it to the Sunday school. Well, it's not good enough, brothers and sisters. We're all involved in trying to show them that Jesus means something to you and to me.
When Jesus said in his ministry, blessed are the children, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's not just the children brought up in God's environment, which we've just been talking about. I think God has a love for the children that don't even know him.
Of course he does. He does. The whole world, yes.
The one who used to preach in the streets, I'm dealing with different nationalities and people that don't even know the word of God.
But
occasionally I'll just say, blessed are the children, for theirs are the kingdom of God. It's amazing how mothers listen.
One of the things that's important of the way children are is they're incredibly, well, if they're not being damaged psychologically or whatever by the treatments they get, they are incredibly trusting.
Mm-hmm.
They'll accept what you say as a parent until they get to their teenage years, of course. Right? And then it's more their mates than anything else. But here you are in a tremendously wonderful position to be able to share with them things that are very special to you, that you want them to become special to them. There's a verse in Proverbs, isn't it? Train a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. If you get them, and it's not indoctrination. Although you must have heard this as a criticism, I don't teach my kid anything about God. I want them to make up their own mind. Very good. Jean answered that one. She says, "What can't? If they can't reject what they don't know, can they? They've got something to reject if I give them something." Yes.
Do you know what I remember psychology as well? And I thought later on, I didn't think I was sort of inside, I didn't come to the Lord later because of it, did I? And I know, because God was in charge of that. But they had a baptism roll near the font at the baptism church.
Yeah.
And, I saw my name was on it. And that. And I used to find a great comfort in it.
Right.
Because it had a picture of the Lord, really nice.
Welcoming the children,
And I thought that's ever so loving, and somehow or other when I was small, I felt loved.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's good.
It's all these bits that do make a difference.
Yeah, different traditions have different ways of doing it, but we need, this is what I'm trying to get at, is we need a place for children in the thing, in the church, somehow or another.
Yeah.
Children have to be an important part.
Yes, I think they're very important, children.
Yeah.
I've got a grandson tell me 18 months ago he didn't believe in God.
All right.
And that's a old pastor went, but he loves you.
keep digging away there,
In Derbyshire, the old grandmothers used to say to anybody that just had a new baby, you had that baby to church yet? So they would take the baby, didn't have to be anybody there, just walk into the church. That's almost like Kunta Kinte, look Lord, this is my baby.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're doing
what they call being churched.
Well, that's what we're effectively thinking of with dedication, really.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, look Lord, we want this child to know your blessing. We're concerned for their spiritual well-being.
I thought that was the nice start.
Like a cleansing, wasn't it? Yeah.
When I was on the bus last week, I couldn't go upstairs. I had a thing in my hand, a box. But the children were saying, Graham, are you going to come up? You're going to come up. So I managed to get up the stairs and said to them. And they were asking questions, because they're saying about certain things, especially about gay situations and other situations. I said, well, I kept saying to them, like I have before, none of us are perfect, but God loves us and we need to know him. And so,
Smashing,
like the Bible said, we've got to instruct the children.
We respond to truth, that's the point. If you don't give people truth, how can they respond to it? Paul says that. How can they believe unless somebody tells them? And that's true of the children, of course. I do not assume that they come into this world as perfect little Christians.
When you hear them, they're all encouraged with Italian and everything else to want.
It's a hard environment.
Why not want to know more of God? And if you don't understand it, seek more of God.
Yes, well, that's good then, yeah.
You know, because they're like that and everything else.
Yeah.
I think it's an easy way to say to it.
Yeah.
You know, don't, if you want everything else, you know, why not? If you're not understanding it, why not? We've got to go,
Well, there we are. We've just covered parents on this one. We're not going to go to work this week, and so you'll have to leave it till next time. You can see it's absolutely fundamental to society, this, because as much as the outside world wants to destroy the family, the family is central. It's central to God's plan. Yeah, it really is. And that's why it's been under so much attack.
Well, it's not the enemy hates it, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, my parents, as I said before, I mean, they were the ones that really told me we'd had sort of like World Wars where the men were killed off.
Yeah.
And then it sort of, I mean, divorce was there, but now it's divorce and
what have you.
Yeah. And he hates the family.
Yes. So, looking back, I mean, some of us are of an age, really. Would you look back, would you say yours was a happy childhood with the home?
It was a strict one.
A strict one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very strict in some ways.
Coming back to the Christian, married and non-Christian, you know, I was absolutely amazed because just before Phil was moved in here, we had to take the two cats that he had to block Fen.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we didn't bring up first, we just take them. And do you know, Phil said to me, would I pray that Block Fen would take the cats? That was while we was in the car on our way to Block Fen.
Yeah.
So the thing is, he realised, I'm sure, the power of prayer.
Good. We do what we can. I just want to add one more little thing to this, and it's this. You can be the best parent in the world, there's no guarantee that the child's going to be a cute and sweetful, pleasant little child. I know there are instances in the Bible where the parents were useless in one sense. David was one. A brilliant leader of the nation and totally hopeless at home. Samuel, I'm not sure about. Samuel was a good man, but he was brought up in a family where there were two wives for a start, so not ideal background, and his kids went off the rails. Yeah, you do your best and trust the rest to the Lord. It's all you can.
We don't always know all the rest. No. We've had secrets.
Right, let's pray, shall we? We've got to stop there, yeah? Lord, we're humbled to realise, Lord, that we are where we are because of your grace, Lord. We realise that. We thank you for the good input that we've had from our parents and the backgrounds that we've had, Lord. And Lord, where things have not been ideal, we thank you. You can overrule and bless us even through that, Lord. We ask, Lord, for our community, our children, the society in which we live, the schools, for our nation, Lord, that there may be a place where children are valued and not misused and indoctrinated with the evil that's so much around us today. Lord, let your light shine. And Lord, help us to be wise parents, grandparents, family members, Lord, to show what love we can, Lord, and show them the right way. Lord, give us wisdom. Oh, don't we need it, Lord. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.